Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus came full of grace, not with a little bit of grace, not with a portion of grace that could be quickly used up. He didn't come to just help those who were already doing pretty good on their own. No, he came with grace, God's undeserved favor, and he was full of it. He was full of it for everybody.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is taking a break from his study in the book of Romans to bring us a special Christmas message this week. Join us as Pastor Brian opens up in the Gospel of John in a message titled, When God Became One of Us. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten, or as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In all of history, I don't think that there is a more profound statement than the one that we just read together. I mean, if you really grasp what John is telling us here, remember where we started. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says the Word became flesh. And it's so profound, it's so deep that it's really, I don't think that we could ever ultimately fathom the depths of what's being said here. But it's certainly something that we want to aspire to. It's certainly something that we want to give time to think about. And I think it's the perfect time of the year for us to do that. So I just want to focus on this 14th verse, and I want to look at three things. I want to look, first of all, at just the Word becoming flesh. And secondly, we want to look at what John meant when he said, and we beheld his glory. And then thirdly, we'll look at what it means that he was full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. Let's think about what that really meant. You know, as I was thinking about it, as I was pondering it over the week, I was thinking, you know, think of the different ways that God could have come into the world. He didn't have to come this way. He didn't have to do things the way he did them. So what are some of the other possibilities? Well, you know, if you think about it, he could have just, I don't know, spoken a human body into existence in regard to coming into the world for the purpose of redemption and so forth. Of course, he could have done this any way he wanted to. So he could have done it that way. Or I was thinking, you know, he could have even, if he wanted to, he could have even fashioned a body out of the dust of the earth, just like he did originally with Adam. And then he could have, placed himself there within that body. He could have come into the world as a full-grown, mature person. And he could have lived quite separated from us, but yet, you know, engaged with humanity on a certain level, but yet maintained a separation. But the amazing thing is that he did not do that. The amazing thing is what he actually did. So what did he do? Well, in a nutshell, he put himself through the whole human experience. So here's God in eternity past, the Word with God, the Word was God, but then the Word becomes flesh. And the decision in God, you know, in eternity past was that he would come and he would go through the whole human experience. And so there he was in that embryonic state. The embryo there within the womb of Mary is God becoming a man. And he goes from that to a fully developed babe in the womb. So he's going through the whole human experience. And then he comes into the world completely vulnerable. And and totally dependent as a newborn would be. So you see, when you start thinking about it like this, it becomes even more amazing when you consider that God the Son, he put himself through this process, not having to do it, but choosing to do it. And undoubtedly, the whole purpose is to just fully and completely identify with us. He went through the human experience, not the human experience that we would all dream of going through, the ideal human experience, where you're born under the best circumstances and you're brought up in the best environment and you're educated at the best schools and you're provided with the best, you know, places to live and vacate, all of those kinds of things that so many would aspire to. Although those things were certainly an option for him, he did not choose those. But rather, he came in the most common, ordinary fashion. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. This is what it means, that the Word became flesh. He took upon himself human nature, and he went through everything that we would go through, and much, much more. So, if we just get a hold of that just a little bit, we begin to understand the profundity of this 14th verse. But then John says, and we beheld his glory. So underneath this outer simple frame, this humanity, this common humanity, underneath this, there was a glory that John says, we beheld. He beheld as one of the followers of Jesus. Let's think about the glory that John beheld. Now, the word glory, it comes from the Hebrew word, and the word kabod is the word. And the word, it means to have weight. Whenever you read about the glory of God, you're talking about something that's weighty, something that's substantial, something that's heavy, but not heavy in a bad sense, but just, you know, substantial is the idea. Weighty, not trite. We saw in Jesus, we beheld in him the glory. What did John see? What was John referring to when he said, we beheld his glory? Well, think of the things that John saw. Think of the things that he recorded for us in his gospel. He was there when Jesus performed his first miracle. He was there when Jesus turned water into wine. And John writes, as Jesus did this, it was there that we beheld his glory as he turned the water into wine. Now some people think, well, you know, turning water into wine, I mean, okay, what's that? I mean, that just seems like some kind of a trick or something. No, Jesus turned water into wine. What Jesus did there was really an act of creation.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Water is not wine. They're two entirely different things. But Jesus takes water and he makes it into wine, which is an act of creation. And in this, John would say that we beheld his glory. We saw the deity. We saw that God who was thinly veiled behind the flesh broke through there when the water was turned into wine. But then John, of course, would see, as the others did, he would see that the blind were given sight, and the lame were enabled to walk, and the deaf had their hearing given to them, and the lepers were cleansed. These were the things that Jesus was doing. And the people, as they would see this, they would marvel and say, we've never seen anything like this before. And they would say, truly, God has visited his people. This is the glory that John would see. And then, of course, they saw when in the midst of a storm, Jesus takes authority over the storm. He stands up in the boat and he commands the wind to cease. And the storm on the sea subsides, and there's a great calm. And the disciples ask one another, who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? They beheld his glory when he saw him calm the storm. They beheld his glory when he fed the multitudes with just a handful of bread and fish. And here again, we see a creative miracle taking place. We see him manifesting his glory as the creator providing food for the multitudes. And then, of course, they beheld his glory in the transfiguration. That was really what was happening in the transfiguration. And remember, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. They go up on a high mountain, and there Jesus is transfigured before them. And they see it's that glory that's veiled behind the flesh suddenly breaks through. And they see, and his garments are shining brighter than the sun, and his face, and there Moses and Elijah appear with him. They beheld his glory in that instant. But then the greatest manifestation of his glory was missed at the time because nobody understood this part of it. But the greatest manifestation of his glory was the cross itself. The cross seemed to be the defeat. The cross seemed to nullify everything that had previously happened, at least for a brief season. They didn't understand at the time of the crucifixion, but they would understand later. No, that was the central manifestation of the glory. We beheld his glory when he was there upon the cross, taking upon himself the sin of the entire world, dying in our place in order to reconcile us to God. And so in the cross, we beheld his glory. But then, of course, the resurrection. The resurrection affirmed that his sacrifice on the cross was accepted by God. And so God raised him up in power. And then finally, we have the ascension. Jesus came into the world the way that we all come into the world. He chose that means to become fully human, to go through the full human experience, all the way through the process of death, but then resurrection, and now it's time to leave the world. And what does he do? He ascends. He ascends back into heaven, and there they are standing, and they're watching him ascend into heaven. And there, no doubt, they are. John would have had this in mind as well. And we beheld his glory as he ascended back to the Father. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son. But then he adds this, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. This is what they experienced in Jesus. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Full of grace, abounding grace, God's favor toward man, favor that we have not earned. We have not only not earned favor, we have earned wrath. And rather than receiving wrath, God has poured his favor upon us. He was full of grace, and certain people were so thankful for that. Other people were not so happy about it. Other people were actually perturbed by it. They were irritated. They never came right out and said it, but they could have simply said, this guy's got too much grace. We don't like that. That was the position of the Pharisees, wasn't it? But what do we see in Jesus? We see that Jesus, he was full of grace. That's what John says. From Jesus, the fullness of God's grace toward man flows. Jesus came full of grace. Full of grace. Not with a little bit of grace. Not with a portion of grace that could be quickly used up. He didn't come to just help those who were already doing pretty good on their own. No, he came with grace, God's undeserved favor, and he was full of it. He was full of it for everybody. And as you follow him again through the Gospels, you see that everywhere Jesus went, he dispensed that grace. But he wasn't only full of grace. John said that he was also full of truth. And it's in Jesus that we have the fullness of truth. Jesus, he's the truth. He's the embodiment of the truth. He's full of truth. What truth? Well, Jesus is the truth about God. We said this before, but let me say it again. He is the truth about God. You want to know about God? You want to know who God is? You want to know what God is like? You want to know what God thinks? You want to know how he feels? You want to know how he would react in certain circumstances? Well, you've got a beautiful portrait in the Gospels. Jesus is the truth about God, but he's not only the truth about God, he's the truth about man. Jesus is the prototype. He is what men were intended to be. He is what God had in mind when he created us. And what do we see in Jesus? What truth do we see about man? We see that he's a man who is living not for himself, but he's living for God. He's living for the glory of God. He's entirely dependent upon God. His whole ambition in life is to bring honor and glory to his Father. And that is the truth about man. That's why we were created. That was the intention that God had. And so he's full of truth. And as we look at him, we see this is what God intended for us to be. He's the truth about life. What is life all about? That's a big philosophical question, right? And it's a question that people have been pondering for thousands of years. What is life all about? What is the meaning of life? Why is there life? What are we doing here? How did we get here? What's our purpose? Where are we headed? And Jesus is the truth about life. And he even tells us himself that he is the life. We read there, in him was life in the first chapter. And so he's the truth about life. He's the truth about love. What is love? Oh, today we have so many different ways of using the term love and so many applications of it and so many varied definitions of it. What is the truth about love? Jesus is the truth about love. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what real love is. But it even exceeds that because Jesus didn't only lay down his life for his friends, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, even when we were his enemies, Christ died for us, showing us the love of God. He's the truth about love, true love, real love. The only way to understand love is through the person of Christ. And then finally, he's the truth about both time and eternity. He's the truth about time. What is this thing that we live in called time? What is this all about? Well, the Bible refers to Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was there in the beginning before time started. Time, of course, is part of the creation, so he creates time. He's the Lord of time. He's the Lord of history. And all of history, although we wouldn't necessarily know it by looking around us or by listening to authoritative voices in our culture or by reading, you know, the past or whatever, we wouldn't necessarily know it. But the fact of the matter is this whole thing about time is all about him. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. History is truly his story. He's the truth about time, and he's the truth about what happens after time, eternity. What happened before time, eternity. What happens after time, eternity. And think about that wonderful prophecy from Micah. That prophecy of where the Messiah would be born. You, Bethlehem, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be the ruler in Israel, the one whose going forth is from old, from eternity, or from everlasting. Before anything was, he was there. In the beginning was the Word. And after everything is done, time is finished, he will be there. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the truth. He's full of truth. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. And these are the things that John highlights in this verse. These are the things that impacted him profoundly. These are the things that he writes down for us. That God, in order to save us, became one of us and went through the entire human experience, including all of the negative possibilities. But in that process, he was manifesting the glory of God and showing grace and speaking truth. And so here we are today, 2,000 years later. Some people will say, well, 2,000 years later, I mean, you know, sometimes we talk about, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus did this, and people think, well, what does that have to do with me? Somebody that lived 2,000 years ago, why do I care what they said or thought or felt? Well, you can dismiss everybody else without a problem, but this is the one person you can't dismiss. Because although he entered into human history 2,000 years ago, and although he accomplished these things 2,000 years ago, the wonderful thing is he's still present here today. And the truth that he brought to us is truth that wasn't simply, you know, true back at that time, but it's always true. It's true today. And the truth is he came so we could be brought back into a relationship with God. And that's what everything is all about. And Christmas is such a wonderful time, isn't it? Because it's at this time of the year that we're reminded of these things once again. Through all of the distracting elements that aren't bad things. They're enjoyable, actually. But sometimes we can just get swept up in all of that. But we need to just stop like we're doing today. And we need to ponder. We need to think, yeah, this time is really primarily about this. It's not primarily about the gifts under the tree this year. It's about God's gift that he gave originally to us that was manifested on a tree made into a cross. And it was there that God gave his greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave there on the cross his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the great gift. That's the story of Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He came full of grace and truth. And I pray today that that grace that God has freely offered, I pray that it will be received by all.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering an engaging 40-day devotional titled When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian. This book takes a fresh look at the person of Jesus, overviewing the book of John, drawing you into a deeper personal relationship with Christ while stimulating a greater hunger to know and serve him and inviting you to dig deeper into the Word of God. The Lord wants to open our eyes to the truth of his glory and greatness. For it is through Jesus that we have hope, peace, forgiveness, and abundant life. And we hope that this devotional will give you a richer understanding of the Incarnation when God became one of us. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this 40-day devotional by Pastor Brian. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics Radio, we'll send you this month's book. You'll find this month's book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian when we continue to take a look at the Christmas story in a message titled, What Christmas is All About. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.